Mexico's president in San Francisco today, saying the two nations have made progress on the thorny issue of migration.
Together, we're taking a balanced approach that lies at the heart of the Los Angeles Declaration on Migration and Protection, and we and 19 other nations have signed on to that agreement. So it includes enforcing our borders, increasing reparations, and opening a historic number of legal pathways for migrants.
Israel is showing what it calls evidence that Hamas hid its operations in hospitals and other places where civilians live and work. CBS's Tina Kraus says that.
The war-shattered streets of northern Gaza are empty, and Israel Defense Forces say they're making progress dismantling Hamas. The IDF showed what it says are Islamic Jihad rockets found at a militant base.
And this is what Hamas is trying to hide from you.
Israeli troops displayed weapons they say were found at the Al-Shifa hospital complex, which Israel and the U.S. believe Hamas used as a command center.
The chairman of the House Ethics Committee has filed a resolution to expel New York Republican Congressman George Santos. CBS New York reporter Dick Brennan says the committee's report on Santos is brutal.
I have no clue what you're talking about, man.
He's known for telling tall tales, but now a congressional report says George Santos takes as good as he fibs. The Ethics Committee found he sought to fraudulently exploit every aspect of his House candidacy for his own personal financial profit.
Basically, the man's whole life is a lie.
The chair of the investigative subcommittee, David Joyce, says Santos made campaigning pay.
He had a pretty good scam going. I mean, really, he was scamming his campaign. He was scamming his office. He was scamming the people from New York 3 that elected him.
Several families who lost loved ones in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting are now taking legal action against the Texas Department of Public Safety.
The legal complaint accuses the agency of leaking Robb Elementary School crime scene pictures to the Washington Post. It took the rare step of publishing graphic images from the aftermath of mass shootings that involved AR-15s, one of the most popular weapons on the U.S. market. The Texas DPS has been fighting the release of crime scene photos, videos, documents, and other evidence materials from the Robb Elementary school shooting, saying the evidence needs to remain sealed due to an ongoing investigation. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Four Las Vegas high school students facing murder charges in the beating of their classmate are scheduled to make their first appearance today in adult court. Police arrested the students between the ages of 13 and 17 after 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis Jr. was killed in a brawl 2 weeks ago. The Dow has now moved into the green along with the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, all up slightly at this hour. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Financial Advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. While it's legal to purchase marijuana in Michigan, three dispensaries were shut down in early November. Those businesses were allowed to open back up on Wednesday. Here's Pete Schwabo with the full story.
The Menominee Circuit Court filed a temporary restraining order November 3rd that closed Higher Love, Loom, and Nirvana and put 70 employees out of work. The city challenged the ruling and asked for clarification. Two other pot dispensaries were allowed to remain open during that time. The city of 8,000 people has five cannabis dispensaries and has seen numerous lawsuits over the issue.
The free Community Connections crafting event at the Nacusa Community Center is tonight. It takes place at 5:30 and has a fall theme. You can meet new people, create a craft, enter to win a basket, and enjoy some snacks at the Nacusa Community Center, Friday, November 17th at 5:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
26 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 51 tomorrow. Clear skies again tomorrow night, 27.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41. Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 17th, 2023. At 3:30 today, we're going to welcome in Mike Hittner, our friends from the Historic Point Boss, talk a little bit of history in the Nacoosa area. Looking forward to that. Right now on the phone with us, our good friend, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Staying busy. I'm actually taking a little time off. I'm up in the Great North Woods right now at deer camp up in Lincoln County and hoping to bag a big buck along with many other hunters who are going to be in the woods this weekend.
Right on. Have a good and safe time out there, sir. I hope you land something and you have a good time. I wanted to actually start with a rewind with you and the Veterans Day events of last week, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so obviously last Saturday was Veterans Day, and had the opportunity to join the VBA chapter of 101 in Wisconsin Rapids with Representative Krug to celebrate their 40th anniversary, which, you know, the VBA, these are all Vietnam veterans who did an incredible job of connecting other veterans and helping veterans. And that's what I think is so important, is that, you know, when our brave men and women go to support and serve our great country, after their time of service, they oftentimes come back and dedicate a lot of their time and efforts to helping other veterans. And it was a really great time. And then on Saturday, I was in the town of Rome, again, with Representative Krug and Congressman Dan Ordon. And it was the first time since the pandemic that they brought this event back down in the town of Rome. And it was just a really great event and the opportunity to highlight and recognize all those who have served. It truly is a humbling experience, because we are very, very fortunate to live in a country where we have so many freedoms afforded to us, and it's at the service of others. And it's always a really excellent time to recognize those individuals who have served and thank them. And, you know, we do this every Veterans Day, but every day is a day to remember and honor our veterans.
Do you think we're doing enough for them, sir?
I you know, you can always do more, without question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thankful as the chair of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee in the State Senate, you know, proud of the work that we've done here in the state. And we live in a state where we have some of the best benefits for veterans in all of the country. And I think that's a testament to our state's motto of forward and doing what we can to support and honor those who have stepped up to support our country.
And one of the ways that we can do that certainly is, like you said, there's always more we can do. Is that something that goes on when you're like a weekend like that, Veterans Day, you're talking to a lot of veterans, you're listening, you and your colleagues listening, finding what we can do to help them more?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it was great too, as Congressman Van Orden was at the event in Rome, he had his veterans liaison there and was literally encouraging veterans to sign up for VA benefits and connecting those for services that they're able to apply for. And the same goes at the state level. If there are issues that pop up our offices, we do what we can to connect veterans with CDSOs within their respective county. We work with them to help them navigate the bureaucracy of getting signed up for things at the VA and programs at the state level. And again, you know, we've been working on bills this session and others to, you know, make sure that we're doing what we can to ensure that Wisconsin remains a national leader in supporting and helping our veterans who have served our country.
You and I know that, but I don't know if it's common knowledge, so I appreciate being able to touch on it and certainly appreciate the work that you, your colleagues are doing to fight for those that fought for us. I want to go to the APRN legislation, the Wisconsin State Statute 4441.16. Can we tell people what this is and why it is important?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago when the State Senate was on the floor, we passed the APRN Modernization Act. And again, this is legislation that's been around in some form or fashion for the last 13 years. And last session was the first time that it advanced out of both houses and made it to the governor's desk. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed it. citing numerous concerns. But again, you know, we've regrouped, recalibrated, made some changes to the legislation, moved closer to hopefully make the governor more comfortable to get this bill signed into law. But what's important about this is that 27 states have passed similar legislation that allows our advanced practice nurses, of which there are roughly 8,000 here in the state of Wisconsin, to operate and practice at the highest level of their license. Here in the state of Wisconsin, 1 million Wisconsinites live in areas where, you know, access is a huge concern and a bottleneck. And what we're trying to do here is alleviate that to ensure that more Wisconsinites can access these highly trained medical professionals and allow them to do the jobs they're trained to do, which is to help Wisconsin patients. Now, I'm proud of the fact that in the Senate, we actually increased the number of supporters that we had for it. Last session, we had 19 votes. It was a party line vote. This session, we had 23 votes out of 33 in the state Senate. So a bipartisan vote. The bill was just heard in the Senate Health Committee this week. And we're working with our counterparts in the Assembly and on the Assembly Health Committee to hopefully have this legislation advance out of committee and have it ready for the floor in January when the Assembly reconvenes. And I'm hopeful that if and when it reaches the governor's desk that we can have this signed into law, because from my standpoint, having been the chair of the Senate Health Committee the last two sessions, vice chair of this session, we want to get this bill done. It's well past time to have this signed into law, and I'm confident and optimistic that we're going to get it done this session.
In this day and age, when we've got more people questioning science and facts than we've ever had, there is a push against this from some that it the fear of it lowering the standard of nursing in the health industry and that. How do you reassure people that that is not the case with this, where we're just looking to get more nurses?
Well, the pushback against this is coming from some in the medical community, primarily from the Wisconsin Medical Society, who have raised concerns. And from my standpoint, you know, there is no data to suggest in any other state similar legislation and to allow full practice for our advanced practice nurses. The quality of care has not diminished in any state that this has been enacted. And in fact, here in the state of Wisconsin, during the course of the pandemic, there were actions taken both by the governor as well as the legislature to empower these providers. And it's one of the primary reasons why back in July we launched the website qualifiedtoheal.com, piloted this proposal, and has testimony from APRNs all across the state. In fact, you can read testimonies from APRNs who serve in every corner of the state. And there's one in particular that really stands out, is that we have an APRN in southwestern Wisconsin where she practices and borders the state of Iowa. But because she has limited practice here in the state of Wisconsin, actually has to see patients in Iowa. So here's an example where we have patients who live in Wisconsin but have to go to Iowa, where this particular APRN has full practice in Iowa. They have to go across state lines to see their provider, which right there should highlight why this bill is needed. And it's in line with other bills that have passed and been signed into law that make it easier for practitioners to travel across state lines to practice, trying to make it easier and remove some of these barriers. And so I think it's in line with things that we have already done and have enacted here in this state, which is why we believe this bill needs to happen now, so we can, again, help providers and, more importantly, help patients.
Speaking with Senator, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now. And, sir, let's get into the farmland preservation bill that just passed.
Yeah, really excited about this. This is a bill that I've worked with my colleagues and Representative Lauren Oldenburg in the State Assembly for the last 3 years. And, you know, as with any new bill, new program, this actually makes modifications to a program that has been in existence since the 1970s, where we're trying to preserve farmland here in the state of Wisconsin and help farmers using best management practices, because we've lost 1 million acres of farmland over the course of the last decade and a half. And from survey results that were sent out by the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to farmers, we learned firsthand why we've seen a decline in usership of the program because, one, the tax credits have not been increased in nearly 20-plus years, and second, the time commitment of 15 years is a huge barrier. And so the bill that we that is passed out of both houses now and awaits the governor's signature would actually increase the tax credits for acres that qualify for the farmland preservation tax credit, and then also lowers the time commitment from 15 years down to 10. And really, this is a bipartisan, it passed nearly unanimous out of the state Senate, passed with near unanimous support in the state assembly. And it's good for our farmers, it's good for the environment, which is why you've seen a broad coalition within the ag community as well as the conservation community, because they see the value in this program, and it shows that it's not a zero-sum game where it's ag versus conservation. This is a great program that balances our natural resources but also supports our ag community, which is a vital backbone of our state's economy.
Yeah, it seems like one of the bigger challenges for Wisconsin going forward is, and no pun intended with that sentence, but is certainly balancing this conservation ag industry along with, of course, the entertainment part of things, where we bring in so many people to this state for so many different reasons, whether it's hunting, and this time of year hunting, ATV use, all of those things, making all three of those separate things be able to work cohesively and be on the same page.
Well, and that's the whole point of this is that, you know, especially going back to my very first session, you know, when we discussed things about, you know, groundwater, water quality, making sure that, you know, we balance the need of our natural resources. And this is a direct byproduct of that. And again, you know, I'm very confident that this is going to get signed into law. And again, showing that here in Wisconsin, we can work together, we can find the common ground and put our best foot forward to make sure that we're taking care of our natural resources, but also making sure that Wisconsin remains a national leader when it comes to things like our potato and vegetable growers here in the state. And really proud of the work that we've done. And again, just now we await the governor's signature, and I'm confident we're going to get there.
Yeah, in all probability, it does look like the governor is going to sign this. And let's look forward a little bit. November 30th is the next date when bills are scheduled to be sent to the governor. Say that happens. December 1st going forward, are you, your colleagues, looking at more bills, more ways to do more work like this?
Oh, absolutely. Prime example, again, you know, just this week on the when the Senate was on the floor, we passed significant legislation to help deal with PFAS. These are the forever chemicals, and proud of the work that was put in by my colleagues, Senators Coles and Senator Wimberger from the Green Bay and LA area. In this budget, we set aside $125 million for PFAS contamination, helping communities deal with the ongoing struggles as we learn more about these chemicals and how they impact our ground and surface waters. And the work that they put into this is really, it's a huge step forward. Now, you know, there will be some out there who will say $125 million isn't enough, and I would tend to agree, but you've got to start somewhere. And this is going to be the tip of the spear, and there's going to be more work that's done on this, but providing our homeowners and individuals who have been impacted by PFAS contamination, this is a huge step forward. And I suspect and anticipate more work is going to be done on this front.
Speaking of work to be done, our head of news here at Civic Media, Terry Bell, had a report earlier today, 60,000 workers unable to work because of childcare in Wisconsin, that every year since at least 2012, Wisconsin has lost hundreds of regular childcare providers and could see more coming. What is being done to work on this problem?
Well, child care continues to be an issue, and truly it's from my standpoint, a workforce issue. When families are having to make the tough decision as to whether or not both spouses are going to work based on whether or not they have access to child care. That's a huge concern. In fact, earlier this year when the Wisconsin Restaurant Association had their lobby day, I talked to a couple who own a couple of Culver's franchise up in the Wausau area, and they told me for their three children, young children, they're spending upwards of $33,000 a year on child care, and that is an astronomical amount of money. And also, when you take a look at the fact that we have a lot of areas in the state that are child care deserts, that means it's a problem across the state, and especially in our area of the state, it's a huge concern for some of these child care facilities upwards of 2 to 3 years. And while there has been a lot of focus and attention on the fact that we did not continue the Child Care Counts program, which used one-time ARPA funds that the governor had utilized, our concern is that, you know, we are basically throwing a Band-Aid on a broken leg. And rather than throw good money after bad, we're trying to tackle this issue in standalone bills now, trying to address this problem. And whether it's helping providers, whether it's trying to increase access, provide more slots for child care, we're trying to tackle this in a way that's actually going to get to the root cause of the problem, trying to open up more slots, trying to find ways from a regulatory standpoint to make it easier for providers to provide child care here in the state. And again, we're trying to put our heads together collectively to deal with this issue and hopefully make it easier for families to access child care here in the state.
I think it's the biggest issue the state has, and you get this solved, and it solves a lot of other problems. We don't get it solved, and it only creates more problems. So it's something that you, your colleagues, we got to get figured out. We got to, and not just you, it doesn't just fall on you and your colleagues. Us as a society got to get this figured out. Senator, I'd like to wrap up talking a little bit about this scholarship program you have, the Senate Scholar Program. We're looking for passionate, motivated people for this.
Yeah, the Senate Scholarship Program, it's really an awesome, awesome program that we've had for several years now in the state Senate where high school juniors and seniors can apply, and they get the opportunity to come down to Madison for a week and work alongside our Senate pages, and it really gives them a front row seat to the inner workings of the legislature. And every year when applications open up, we encourage any students who have an interest in state government and public policy to apply. For the upcoming session, we've had several from the 24th Senate District who have applied, and I'm really excited about it because, again, it's really an opportunity for these young individuals who are in high school and have an interest in service and government to come down to Madison and really get a firsthand experience as to how and what we do down there impacts folks both directly and indirectly back home. And every session, we've had one or two from the 24th Senate District that I've been in office who have applied and been accepted. And it's a great opportunity. And I always try and take time when I've got individuals from my district who get accepted into this program to make time and have them come in and sit down and meet with them. And really, it's kind of how we build the pipeline and build that interest in the public service. And I'm really proud of our Senate scholars and looking forward to having a handful from the 24th come down to Madison in the near future and have them work alongside us.
More on how you can apply for that in a second, but I do have a way of tie into this, sir, and it's a bit of a reach, I admit, but bear with me on this. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, our Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer announced that he would not be seeking a third term, and Shane broke this news on this program, and we talked with him about that, and he was very vulnerable, very honest about it, I thought, that while he enjoys the job, loves what he does, he's a bit burnt out. from some of the politics, if you will, of it, but mostly it's from a lot of the negative feedback he gets from people and dealing with that. And I've talked with him about this. You and I have talked about this when addressing our politicians, addressing our police captains, our sheriffs, these people, the need to treat each other as human beings and get away from this keyboard coward kind of thing. With a scholarship program like this, I feel like you're getting the kids young and getting them an opportunity for them to see behind the scenes, learn some of this stuff, and humanize politics a little bit. I know that that's not necessarily the essence of the program, but do you see that as a hopeful part of it?
I do. And, you know, there's no question that in today's day and age where everything is so polarized and it seems, you know, our very fabric of society is getting stretched further and further. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head where, you know, we've got a number of folks who operate in the ether on social media, and it just seems like no one can find consensus. We're bitterly divided, but that's why it's so important to encourage individuals to get involved. And, you know, at the end of the day, anyone who's in the public arena, we're all people. We're not perfect. You're never going to have everyone behind you 100%, but that's more the reason to encourage individuals into public service, because we need people to step up and to serve. And it's critically important, because, you know, regardless of where we're at, we still need to get things done, and we need people to do that. And despite the polarization that we have up there, if we don't have good people to step up, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
We've got to get this figured out. We've got to address this and get this worked out, because as I touch on all the time, it's getting harder and harder to get people to want to be on a board, to be a board representative or something. It's getting harder and harder to get people to run for local or state office or government office. It's almost getting down to like two types of people: your traditional person who wants to run in politics, and the person looking for 15 seconds of fame. We're running into this over and over again. We're the ones that have control of this, though. We are the voters. We are the people. We can control this. We can make this better. But we have to work together to do it, and we have to treat each other with respect to do it. I believe in accountability above anything else. And I think that more than anybody, politicians should be held accountable. So it's not to say that you can't, and you're not entitled to your opinions or anything, but it's how you talk to people. It's how you address those opinions. It's the tone of your voice. It's the words that you use. If you find yourself sounding like a fifth grader, that's how you're going to be treated. Like, and we're going to have less and less young people that want to be a part of politics. We've got kids right now watching mom and dad screaming at their TV at politicians. How many of them are going to want to grow up to be a politician? This is an issue. And we're going to get to a point in the game, if it keeps up this way, where nobody's wanting to run for office except for people that want to get 15 seconds of fame, which is not what politics is about.
Well, that's a great point, James. And, you know, when you take a look at, you know, what's going on, and I would say more so at the federal level, where you see this play out more and more, where you've got the individuals who would rather throw their grenade across the aisle and get that sound bite. You see it on cable news channels all the time. I don't operate in that space. That's never been my MO. And I try and focus on what I can do that has a direct impact for the district I represent. And I think that's the approach, by and large, that more individuals have taken, at least in our area, is that you don't see us, you know, out there throwing bombs left and right. And we try and roll up our sleeves here in central Wisconsin to, you know, help the communities that we serve. And you see that play out over and over again, which is why we've been able to get so much accomplished for our area in the last several years. I take a look at the work that was done when we did the airport expansion at Wisconsin Rapids. You take a look at the work that's been done to revitalize downtown Wisconsin Rapids. When we came together with the Rapids Together Task Force dealing with the mill closure at Verso. And so from my standpoint, we've always tried to focus on our backyard. And I think when we can get more individuals to do the same, and we do it at a local level, and, you know, I'm hopeful that whoever succeeds Mayor Blaser, that we'll continue to work together in a bipartisan fashion that really puts our people and our communities first to get results. Because at the end of the day, that's what I was sent to Madison to do, was to get results, move our state and our communities forward together. And that's going to be continue to be my MO moving forward.
Something about that Midwest mentality, I think, really helps us when it comes to this subject. Today is the final day to get in applications for the Senate Scholar Program. You can put those in and apply at senatescholar.com, senatescholar.com. Always a good conversation with you, sir. You have a great weekend, safe travels up there, and good hunting to you.
I appreciate you, James, and wishing everyone a safe hunting season this year. Hopefully everyone gets a good buck and get some venison in the freezer. And also just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Take some time to spend it with family and be thankful for what we have. And looking forward to having our conversation in December.
Yeah, looking forward to it, too. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Students and staff in Stevens Point had a scare this morning, but at no time was anyone in danger. The SPASH emergency lockdown alarm system was falsely activated this morning a little before 8:30. The school went into lockdown procedures and law enforcement swept the building. The hold was released at 9:15. This was a false alarm, and the Buildings and Grounds Department is working to figure out why it happened. Situations like this cause anxiety and stress for everyone involved. There was no credible threat to students or staff, and the PD is proud of how all involved responded to the situation. National Utility Scam Awareness Day took place this week. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission in Wisconsin Rapids wants customers to watch out for scams. If you receive a call, email, text, or service request representing WWNLC and worry that it could be a scam, just call them directly. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 26 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 51 tomorrow. Clear skies again tomorrow night, 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right, get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine, our final one of the week. We got a great one to wrap up with, too. We're talking with Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss about holidays. Mike, good to see you.
Yeah, same here, James, and everyone in Radioland.
Appreciate the time, as always. I do want to start the interview wishing a happy birthday this weekend to Katrina. Yes. Wishing her a great one. Got to get that in there.
Just back from India, in fact.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. That's fun. Looking forward to talking with her about that. And looking forward to talking with you about holidays. I always like to treat these things to new listeners, to people that may not be familiar with the event, Mike. Can we tell people what Heritage Holidays is?
Well, it came up probably about 15 years ago, and what we try to do is recreate a Christmas that was more appropriate to that era. Now, a lot of people, because of what we're used to as far as Christmas in our today's world, are a little jaded by it because, you know, we don't they didn't celebrate a lot in those days. They did a little bit, a little decorating in the school. You'll see a Christmas tree and some ornaments and that sort of thing, because that's from the era of 1925. But the house and that sort of thing, you see some bunting and a few things like that in the cabin, but you won't see much like we consider Christmas today. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, it's kind of a step back in the process. And I should explain to everyone, too, and to you, James, that we combined with Nakusa's Hometown Christmas, mm-hmm. which is new for us. And it's not new in a sense. What we did this years ago with the Port Edwards Lions, with their fishery, which they have on the last Sunday of January, we combined with them with our ice cutting. Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of a natural thing like that. We thought, well, since Nakusa's doing all this sort of thing, let's add a little ambiance to what they do and join them on that. So we talked to the new group called For Nakusa, Heather mm-hmm. Sayers, and a bunch of people down there, and the ladies there. I went to one of the meetings, and I tell you, those gals get it done. And mm-hmm. 1 hour meeting, and they had it all done. They weren't sitting around talking for 3 hours or something like that. I give them a lot of credit.
We got to work with Heather for a while here, and that is Heather. She is going to get stuff done. Right. I love the work that she's doing and what she's doing for the Nakusa area. Yeah. I love the combining of these things.
Right.
We've talked on air, off air about the combination with the fishery, and now for this, it seems like such a natural, organic fit. Did they reach out to you guys? Did you reach out to them?
We reached out to them. We had done our winter feast mm-hmm. at the Nakusa Community Center in last February, and I talked and we talked with Heather a little bit about, well, what would they think about if we wanted to put it on the same date, and she was all for it, and so she had to just go back and talk to her group and see what they thought, but they thought it was a great idea, and it kind of completes it, because their day starts kind of early, goes from 9 to 3. They've got story time and cake and cookie decorating at the Nakusa Library. They have an open house at the Nakusa Fire Station. They got Christmas coffee and cookie and bake sale at the church in town. And then that kind of goes from 9 to 3, and we go from 1 to 5. And then, of course, at 5:15, they have their great parade down, mm-hmm. their Christmas parade, and then fireworks immediately following that. So it was kind of made a complete day for there. There was no lapse in between there. It went straight through. So we thought it was a nice organic move to combine them. They thought so, too. And so we're looking forward to it. Our first Nakusa hometown, of course, we're town of Saratoga, but we're right across the river from them. And it was kind of a natural thing.
And it benefits everybody. Everybody gets benefited from something like this, the combination of it.
I think that we draw kind of different people for different things, but a lot of people come to our event might say, well, let's go a little early and go mm-hmm. to the bake sale, or go to, you know, tour the fire station or something like that. And people that go to their events say, hey, we're just starting today, mm-hmm. and we went and we did cookie decorating at the library. Now let's go over to Point Bass and see what they got going on. So it's kind of a, like I say, an organic.
Yeah, a rising tide raises all boats. It's good for everybody, this one. You know, Mike, one of the things that I am very thankful for that my parents gave me was perspective. It goes a long way, and there's never been a day in my life that it doesn't seem to come up or help in benefit. And I did this with my children, too, and it was it seems to have really benefited them as well. I think one of the things that we get from this historic Poem Boss, while also living history, learning history, taking some pride in it, is some perspective. Mm-hmm. And I really do encourage kids or parents of this event to bring kids to this event. Whether you are a family that has a lot or a family that has a little, when you look at the way it was back then, you have a little perspective about it. All of a sudden, your Christmas seems a lot better one way, either way.
Right, right. I think that in today's world, especially as we get, Christmas really starts the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, with the music, some stations play mm-hmm. music for the whole month and that sort of thing. But you notice also when Christmas is over, the music is done, even if it doesn't last to New Year's or anything. So this is kind of try to give them a bigger perspective of mm-hmm. what it's really about, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And how it was for the trailblazers, the people that paved the way for us and everything. I think it's fascinating that when you look at the way it was celebrated. And there's parallels, and then there's so much that is so different, and how it really was centered on the essence of what Christmas was.
Right, and I think when Tom has been here different times with us from the cabin, trader's cabin, we got that perspective that these different traders, even though they were competing companies, would get together for like the holidays because that was a special day. And, you know, and we even hear that in the Civil War, you know, when there'd be a truce call or something, people would go back and forth across the lines and they probably maybe meeting with their brother or somebody they know, or if they don't know, they're trading maybe cigarettes or candy or food or something like that, because in the end of it, we're all just people.
Yeah. And with an event like this, we get kind of back to that a little bit. We get some of that feeling from it. Some of the things that people will experience coming down and checking this out, you're going to see people putting up decorations, things like that.
Yeah, in the school, the kids will be doing a drawing and doing coloring ornaments and that sort of thing and hanging them on a tree. We'll have a scraggly white pine in
nice.
The schoolhouse, yeah. not to look like a modern-day tree. Full like we normally think of them, but they'll be doing that and they'll have some treats there. They'll go to the house and they're baking some molasses cookies and they'll have some craft for the children in the house. And the cabin, Tom has got, I think, a game hen or something he's doing on a, it's a little different and it'd be kind of nice for people to check it out. It's a reflector oven and it works in the fireplace, but it works off a reflector, kind of like a mirror sort of thing where it cooks it by reflector. And it was something that was period. And we purchased one about 3 or 4 years ago, and Tom has been using it in the cabin for that type of purpose, just to show people whether it's a ham or if it's a game hen or something like that. And he's going to be cooking some of that in the cabin, just so it's kind of fun just to see that. We also have a new person in the cabin, and she's portraying a Native American, and so she's really looking forward to it, and it adds a little perspective. I mean, we can't interpret Native Americans per se, but we can kind of portray what they did and how they did it.
Yeah, yeah, an integral part of the history as well, and a great part to incorporate. That's a really cool idea. There's also the focus on the types of foods that were around at that time as well.
Right. Yeah, and they, you know, like I say, they're making molasses cookies, and they'll be making some soup or whatever, or having some hot apple cider in the house. We also have a couple new things. We're going to have a big bonfire outside to warm people in the parking area, and also we're going to have guided tours and walking tours of our trails. Now, we got, for people that don't know, we got about a 3-mile system of trails there, both north and south of Wakely Road, and so we encourage people to come out, whether it's during this time of year or for winter activities, you know, cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, to come out and enjoy those trails. They're not very far from Wisconsin Rapids, but there's about a 3-mile extensive trail that goes along the river through the woods and, you know, very beautifully laid out. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for people if they want to come out and get a little exercise, maybe eat a few cookies and take care of those calories on the trail. That's a good time to do so. That's kind of a new perspective we've added to it, too.
Yeah. Mike, when you first started learning more and more about the kind of history of these holidays and how they used to be celebrated and everything, was there anything that stood out to you like, oh, this is the biggest difference between Christmas then and Christmas now? Were there some things that stood out to you?
I think it was mostly, like we had talked before, James, that people relished times of getting together with other people, whether they were relatives or family or friends, and it was that time to kind of step back and just enjoy your time. And because we don't realize and appreciate how much just work it took just to live in those days. I mean, between chopping firewood and breaking ice so the animals could drink the water in the winter and all these other things, they didn't have heaters and all this sort of thing, that just to exist, it took a lot of effort. And so this was a time to kind of step back and enjoy life a little bit separated from that for just a day or so.
I'm such a history nerd, and I at least once a week catch myself going down a rabbit hole of learning about something. And almost every time I get to the end of it and kind of just marvel at how we're still here.
Right.
You know, the human
right.
beings are even still here. Like right. it's a marvel, and I can't help but be thankful to the people that made it so that we can still be here.
Yeah, it's always, you know, we have talked previously about it, you know, those people will come down and say, they'll really like what we're doing down there and say, oh, I wish I was living that time. I say, well, I don't know. I know I like a shower every once in a while, and I like some heat. I do have a fireplace at home, and we do burn wood occasionally, but I'm not relying on it. So all those things, you know, we've been having and enjoying some beautiful weather up till today. It's getting back to normal, but I mean, now they're looking at what, Thanksgiving, maybe high of 23 or something.
Right,
so we're back into the regular mode of winter now. We're done with our autumn and that sort of thing. So
I think we even, you know, looking at something like this and putting myself in the shoes of these people and stuff, just even thinking, you said about getting together, it immediately made me think of like how, you know, almost every holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is, we tend to travel to visit family. And let's be honest, sometimes we gripe a little bit about it, like, oh, I got to go 3 hours this way or whatever. I mean, imagine then. Like, it was a day to get to somewhere or something like that. And that perspective.
We kind of take it for granted because now we live in either smaller communities or cities. And maybe we got to go across town or something like that, where they had to travel, even if it was only, you know, 5 miles or 10 miles, say somebody from Grand Rapids or Centralia that went to Point Boss in those days, it'd take the better part of a day to get there.
Yeah.
And not comfortably either. Mm. I mean, probably if they'd had snow, they'd had a horse-drawn sleigh, and then maybe have some hot coals or something they could put around their feet, and maybe a lap robe or something like that. But, I mean, this is going to be in all the elements of the weather. So, like, when people come out, we always say, you know, we're going to be there, and we don't necessarily always have fire in all the buildings, but the ones that have fire and stoves and everything will be heated. But the other places aren't heated, and that's kind of how people lived in those days. And blacksmith doesn't have to worry because he creates enough heat of his own, so he's probably warm. But the rest of the people that are working in the three-bay shed or the barn or someplace like that, they got to make their own heat, really, by body heat, by doing things. So
we're speaking with Mike Hintner from the Stork Point Boss, talking about their Heritage Holidays coming up on December 2nd, Saturday, December 2nd, 1 to 5. And, Mike, I always love looking at the pictures on the website, the Facebook pages. I've been to all of these events myself. And one of my favorite parts is not only the event itself, but running into people that I don't see all the time, or especially seeing families together and little kids in that. This is really an event for everybody.
Right. We see a lot of the extended family situation where grandma and grandpa are with the grandkids, or it could be two or three generations together. And the children saying, well, I've been down here with the school group, and I know how that corn grinder works or whatever,
that's awesome.
And showing grandma and grandpa that, you know, and those kids, you know, we've talked about it before. School groups come through, and we think, well, do these kids get anything out of this? Because they're kind of glazed over a little bit.
Yeah.
And you wonder, are they getting it? But whether it's osmosis or what it is, it doesn't matter. They're picking it up anyway because it's so unique to them that I think it makes an indelible impression on them.
It does remind me to remind you out there, if you're a school group, if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, somebody like that listening, make sure to reach out to Mike and the gang at Historic Point Boss.
We're lining up people for a spring tour. In fact, I think our last one was on November 2nd or 3rd of this year. And next spring, of course, we're already taking reservations for that. And so we encourage the teachers and maybe parents out there that know about us, homeschool groups, to come on out. We generally have schools coming from about a 50-mile radius, and they spend the whole day there and enjoy a great time. A lot of people in the past have gone because maybe we weren't there or they didn't know about us. They went to Heritage Hill in Green Bay or some other place. Well, you spend 2 hours on the road coming and going, so 4 hours of the time you're sitting in a bus. Mm. This time can be spent at the site and doing something and learning something, and I think that's the important thing about it.
And locals getting to take some local pride and learn about their own neck of the woods. Yeah. It's pretty cool to be able to
do. We have a tendency of looking at history in the United States of being Philadelphia or Washington, D.C.
Right.
or Boston or something, but history is made everywhere, and it's made in our backyard, like you said. And Point Boss, the Wakeleys were the first white settlers to stay year-round. The other people, maybe the workers came in and left, you know, seasonally, but the Wakeleys stayed here, so the first ones to stay here, actually, and they came in June 2nd of 1837, so what are we going, about 185 years or so, something like that.
Wow. Just incredible to think of.
Yeah.
and it's even more incredible, I think, when you look at like the scheme of time as a whole and how little separates us from this moment, like that it was... In the scheme of time, it really wasn't that long ago, you know, when you compare it then to now.
Right.
And it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we were just, my wife and I were just on a tour of Turkey and spent 23 days in Turkey and going through places like Ephesus and Patmos, which were Roman cities during the era when St. Paul was going through. And you hear about the epistles from Ephesus and everything, and he talked at the theaters there where they held 35,000 people and going through that, and that's ancient history, but we have ancient history here. We just don't know it because of the native populations didn't have a written language or any way of recording it. Most of the, other than a few mounds and few things like that, there's not a lot of standing things. The more modern history, 1837 for the Wakeleys and others, Daniel Whitney maybe as early as 1830 being in the area, that's our kind of a modern white history, we want to call it, probably.
Yeah, I think well said.
European history.
Yeah, yeah. It is really interesting, when you, and I'm so darn jealous of you guys getting overseas and all that and checking out these other countries, because as history nerds like we are and everything, there's American history, but really America's kind of a teenager compared to China or Russia or India or some of these countries that have been around, or we have the history, the data for so long.
Right.
Just wild to think of it and to interesting to learn
about.
Well,
it makes the world much bigger than what you think it is. I mean, you can read it in a book, but when you see it and touch it and feel it and walk on the same places where people have walked for thousands of years in those places like Ephesus and everything, it's marble and it's worn down. You can see where the wagons went through and they made two ruts through there. You can imagine how long it took to wear that marble down, thousands of years, sort of thing.
When I was out in California, my buddy took me over to the fault lines and I got in trouble, but I walked over some of them and got into some of that. And it just, you almost feel the history just even being in that area. It's a crazy thing. Yeah. It's pretty cool to see.
Well, especially in California, we always enjoyed the redwoods, you know, and it's like being in a cathedral, outside cathedral, because it's just majestic. And if you're not spiritual, I think when you see the redwoods and you walk in the redwoods and you spend some time there, you feel spiritual after a while.
Yes, you're so well said. Yes, all right. Mike, one of the things that I appreciate so much about what you guys do, keeping history alive over there at Historic Point Boss, is not just doing that, but welcoming everybody and making it accessible to everybody. While everything seems to be rising, the prices of everything, you guys keep your prices the same. We've been doing this interview for about 7 years now, and I don't think your prices have ever changed.
No, we try to keep them very reasonable because we understand not all families can afford something. And so we want to make it so they can come out for a family of four for maybe $10 or $12 or less and that sort of thing. So it's eminently affordable because we want this history to be available to people and not be restricted because of cost or price or something like that. And so we've always tried to maintain this low a price as we can just to kind of cover expenses and sort of thing.
Really do appreciate that, but we also want to help you be able to continue to do that. And the way we can is by helping out, whether it's volunteering or donations. But one of the things that I actually have heard from a listener before, and this was a while back, they didn't know how to donate because they felt awkward asking. And I think that comes back to our Midwestern mentality and who we are as people. And I love that about our people. I like that. But we get awkward about money. We get awkward talking about money, and that's just how it is. But we do want to encourage people, if you are able to, donations are welcome over at the Historic Point Boss, and it helps them keep history alive.
Yeah, we have some donation boxes out, you know, besides admission, if somebody wanted to put in a few extra dollars, that's appreciated. I think on our website, I think now they're taking money for via PayPal or something like that they can do, 21st century sort of donation.
Yes.
We've had a lot of people in the last probably 10 years that have put us in their will. Sounds kind of gross and grotesque and that sort of thing. But some people sometimes when they're looking, and maybe they don't have a lot of relatives and they're thinking, who should I give this money? The cultural center or the community theater? All that's good. And we take some money like that too. And over the last 10 years or so, we've gotten not great bequests, but, very generous bequests from different families and person, so that's very appreciative also.
It's beautiful, and it's a great way, again, of like putting into a community and helping that, like, what can I do that will make an impact, not just now, but for the next 10 years, next 20 years, that kind of thing. That's really cool.
Yeah, and if people want to put it in, some people specify they want it used for, interpretive center or for some purpose or for interpreters or for costuming, we can put it in a special fund and use it just for that purpose too. And for the garden, I know we had a $250 bequest 10 years ago that bought garden seeds for the in supplements for the garden, and there's still probably $150 left of that after 10 years, because how much do garden seeds cost for a smaller garden? So
that's pretty cool. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good example of the kind of donations, kind of things that we're looking for and that could really help out a lot. And certainly volunteers. Always could use volunteers. There's not an event, not a day that goes by that couldn't use volunteers over there. And while you you may be looking and thinking of ways to impact your community, how can I do that? I don't have a whole lot of money. This is a great way to do that that doesn't really cost you anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just went to a sports banquet last night. Convention Visitors Bureau put on a sports banquet. And the MVP and everything like that, and they had four candidates, and just to let them explain what they did and how they volunteered over the years for community, some of these people for 35-40 years, how they gave back to the community was awe-inspiring, really. And and that's what we look forward to, for people not to give us 35 or 40 years, but give us a day or two or some phone work or something like that. And a lot of times when they come out there, they find out how at ease. You know, we're probably the easiest group of people to get along with in the world, because we let your expectations be our expectations. We don't expect you to do a lot, or we expect you to do what you feel comfortable with. And so whatever that is. And a lot of people think, well, I don't know if I could be interpreters. Well, come out and just go around different buildings and see what appeals to you and what you'd like to do, and we'll help you with the rest if that's what you want to do. If not, we got, you know, just like community theater, you know, that play is out on the stage, but 90% of the work happens behind the behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. So
reach out to Historic Point Boss. You can find more by going to their website, historicpointboss.com. There is a Support Us tab. Encourage you to check that out. And also a good place to go to if you are interested in volunteering, to contact them. Mike, as we're wrapping up, let's go over the details of this wonderful event one more time.
Yeah, this is December 2nd, Heritage Holidays, and it's a part of the greater hometown, Nakusa hometown Christmas, and we're open from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We encourage you to come down. It's $3 for adults, $2 for students. We got guided hikes, we got a bonfire, we got hot apple cider, molasses cookies, making ornaments for kids, a craft in the house. All the buildings will be open. The blacksmith will be there. The trader's cabin will be there with Tom and Joe and be interpreting what they did, and the bunkhouse. And so it's a good time for everybody, and they can get out and enjoy it, walk around, dress appropriate for the weather. If it's colder, of course, you know, wear plenty of clothes. When you get in the buildings that are heated, you'll probably end up taking off some because it gets pretty warm pretty quick, especially if we're dressed for outside. But everybody's welcome. And as you were saying before, James, we made all our buildings that weren't handicap accessible about 2 years ago, they're all handicap accessible. So there's no reason for somebody not to come out because of maybe of a handicap or something. So we encourage everybody.
I encourage everyone to check this out. It's going to be such a fun event. Looking forward to it. You can find out more again by going to historicpointboss.com. You can also give them a call at 715-459-1722. That's 459-1722. And again, be sure to bookmark the webpage, historicpointboss.com, and follow them on social media. Always a great time talking with you, sir. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, James and WFHR.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. And want to send a shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll talk to you next week with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy. It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.